Hello, beloved, and welcome to today's Bible study. We are busy with part 28 of our study in the letter of Jude. Before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can study your word and that we can study and show ourselves approved as people who desire to rightly divide the word of truth. May that also be relevant today, Father, as we study your word. That we want to know what you have to say to us. So I pray, Father, please open up our hearts to receive your word and our minds to understand your word. Help us to discern spiritually. So at the end of the day, your name may be glorified, Father. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. And I pray that you will enable me as your servant to teach your people. And that I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Now, Jude has given us a few characteristics of false teachers already. Remember in verse 4, he gave us four characteristics of false teachers. He says they get into the church, but the way they get into the church is they get in unnoticed. Okay, that's the first one. Then he says that they are ungodly. In their conduct, they are ungodly people. They turn the grace of God into a means for them to commit sexual immorality and other sins. Right, so they abuse God's grace. And then they deny things, or let's say different things about Jesus Christ, which has been revealed to us in God's word. That we found in verse 4. Now, when we get to verse 8, he gives us four more characteristics of these false teachers. Jude tells us that they are dreamers. The King James calls them filthy dreamers. Right, so these people are dreamers. Then also what they do is they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. Those are the eight characteristics that we've received from Jude so far. And it's quite a handful if you really go into the detail of it and you see what it actually means now. Now in verse 10, we get another characteristic trait of these false teachers. Let's read verse Let's read verse 10. I sometimes forget to go over to the next slide. All right, verse 10 says, "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know." So he's speaking about these false teachers. Nah? "These false teachers speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves." Right, those are the words of Jude. Yoch, these false teachers really, they are something. Not only do they creep into the church unnoticed, not only are they ungodly, not only do they turn the grace of God into a means of committing all kinds of sin, not only are they dreamers, not only do they defile the flesh, not only do they reject authority or speak evil of dignitaries, nope, they speak evil of whatever they do not know. Now, obviously, it's speaking about the dignitaries. Now, it's speaking about angelic beings. All right, so whatever they do not know naturally, which means it could refer to supernatural things. Not only to angels, now, not only to angelic beings, but also anything that is not natural. So they will be speaking evil of whatever they do not know. Do they know anything about salvation? No, because salvation is something spiritual. It needs to be spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit has to reveal it to us. The Holy Spirit has to open it up. So what do? They speak evil of what they do not know. They will speak evil of salvation. They will speak evil of God. They will speak evil of Christ. They will speak evil of the angelic beings. They will speak evil of anything that is spiritual. Right? That's what these people will do, because they really do not have any means of knowing things spiritually. They don't have a clue what's happening spiritually, because they don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Right? Now, the Greek word for speak evil is the word blasphemeo. It's a verb, ne? Blasphemeo. Now, this Greek word is the word where we get the word blaspheme from. It basically means to hurt the reputation of someone, or to smite with reports or words, or to speak evil of someone, or to slander or to rail. That's what it means. It's a bad thing if you slander, if you blaspheme, if you hurt the reputation of someone without even really knowing that someone. It's like these false teachers who speak all kinds of nonsense about Jesus Christ and who Christ is, but they don't know him. In fact, they know nothing about him because they don't know him personally through the Holy Spirit, who reveals to us what the Scripture says about Jesus Christ. Right, so they will hurt the reputation of Jesus Christ without even blinking an eye because they do not know him. They will try to hurt the reputation of God because they do not know God. They will hurt the reputation of God in the sense that they will refuse to accept the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They will refuse to accept God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They will refuse to accept Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ himself is God, that Jesus Christ is the Creator. They will refuse what the Scripture teaches about the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing how these false teachers, normally with regards to the Holy Spirit, just this one observation, as you will find that false teachers will always make the Holy Spirit less than what he is. They will not see the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. They do not acknowledge the Holy Spirit as a person. They do not acknowledge the Holy Spirit as the third person of the triune God, the triune being. What they do is they rather look at the Holy Spirit as a force. They look at the Holy Spirit as a something rather than a someone. That's one of the characteristics of these false teachers. Why? Because they don't know the Holy Spirit. What has happened to many of them, well, I'll say most of them, they are actually teaching the doctrines of demons, things they learn from demons about the Holy Spirit. Then they teach these things. And when you compare it with Scripture and you look at what Scripture teaches about these things, it doesn't even get close to what Scripture teaches about the Holy Spirit, for example. All right. So what they do is they will hurt the reputation of God, of Christ. They will hurt the reputation of believers. They will hurt the reputation of those who faithfully, truthfully just preach the Word of God, that takes the Word of God and just preaches it faithfully. They will try to hurt those people's reputation. All right, they will smite with reports and words. They will bring false accusations against these people. And they will speak evil of people. They will slander people. That's what these false teachers will do. All right. So they will intentionally try to hurt the reputation of God or Christ or the Holy Spirit or God's people or the church or things that they do not know, angelic beings. They know nothing about it. What they know about it is so limited because these things need to be spiritually discerned. When you speak to people about what's happening in the world and the things that's going on in the world, and we know that spirit of Antichrist is at work, now the lawless one is at work since the time of John, for example, they know nothing about these things. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to destroy people's reputation. Okay? They're going to try to hurt the reputation of people that are trying to make sense of things in a spiritual way. Now remember that Jude wrote in verse 8, he says, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Now that's the same word that is being used. No? That speak evil of is the blasphemeu. It's the same word. You see, these false teachers blaspheme angelic beings they know nothing about. But I think it goes further than that. Right? It goes towards blaspheming God and blaspheming anything that they do not understand, do not know anything about. They just blaspheme those things. Now, what we have in Scripture is, by the way, when we talk about angelic beings, is we have God's revelation of angelic beings in the Bible. But we don't have a lot of information about angelic beings. So what these false teachers do is they will just hurt the reputation of these angelic beings. They will say things that are not appropriate. They will say things that are not true about angelic beings. Because they know very, very little about it. Remember that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. Yes, we can study it and you can study the words and you can study sentences because God used words and sentences with meaning within the context to to give us his word. Obviously, that's a fact. But you cannot work with the word of God only on a scientific basis. Because if you do that, you're not going to be able to discern what's happening spiritually. And I see so many so-called theologians, and all they are busy with is the letter of the word and not the spirit of the word. Now, I'm not saying that we need to work with the scripture allegorically and spiritualize everything. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the word of God can only be understood if the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, if the Holy Spirit opens it up to us. And that can only happen when I'm saved. A false teacher is not saved, and a false teacher cannot discern spiritual things. Now, John MacArthur, in his commentary on Jude, said about these false teachers, he says, these false teachers are apostate teachers. In their brash and bold, egotistical infatuation with imagined power and authority, they rail on that which they do not understand, end quote. So these false apostate teachers, they have this egotistical infatuation with all kind of power and authority, because that's what they actually want, is they want to control people. They want power. They want authority over people. So they will tell or speak lies. They will talk about angelic beings, and they will talk about God and all these things, and it will be complete nonsense. But they will catch people in this way because they can get power and authority over people. All right. But it's imagined power because they don't really have power. Now, these false teachers are so full of themselves, and I kind of look at these people as arrogant. They're so consumed by themselves that they are willing to speak evil of things that they do not understand. You must be so full of yourself to take the Bible, knowingly confuse things in the Bible, knowingly speak evil about things that the Bible doesn't speak about, knowingly go against everything that God has said. You must be so consumed with yourself, so full of yourself. You must be so arrogant. In a sense, we can say that these false teachers are narcissists. They are narcissists. Everything in life revolves around themselves. So, what they will do is they will speak evil of things that they know nothing about. Because they are so self-absorbed, so self-occupied in their little self-made world that they just cannot speak the truth about things they do not know. I think you must have met people that are so full of themselves that they actually talk about things they know nothing about as if they know everything about it. But when you listen to them and you go and look at the facts, you find out, but they don't know what they're talking about. They're talking a bunch of nonsense. But they're so self-absorbed that they don't even realize that they're talking nonsense. Now, John MacArthur sums it up in the following way when he talks about these false teachers. And I quote, he says, apostates are intellectually arrogant and spiritually ignorant in that they don't know because they are blinded by Satan. We read about it in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. And they are, blinded by Satan. And spiritual matters, he says, are beyond their unregenerate capacity to understand. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. In divine matters, they are no brighter than the dumbest beasts. What an explanation. Amazing explanation. Beautifully said. They're blinded by Satan. They are, it's beyond their unregenerate capacity to understand spiritual things. They can't. When it comes to divine matters, they are no brighter than the dumbest beast. They are no brighter than an animal when it comes to spiritual and divine matters, because they are so absorbed in themselves. Now, beloved, we need to remember that we who are spiritual have the ability through the Holy Spirit to discern things spiritually. Now, let me read this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 9 to 12. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian believers. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Let me just quickly see if I can go to that. Oh, there we go. I hope you can see that. We're going to get to verse 12 now. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. See these words? Beautifully written. Amazing. The Apostle Paul is just absolutely amazing when it comes to these things. Now, in verse 14, we read the following. This is also 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, the natural man, the person that is not saved, cannot understand the things of God because it must be spiritually discerned. These false teachers cannot discern spiritual things. They just don't have the ability. You see, these false teachers, they couldn't understand spiritual things even if they wanted to. So, what did they do? If you don't understand things, just speak evil of it. Maybe that's the logical conclusion that these false teachers get to. If I don't understand it, well, let me just say whatever I want to say about it. Because remember that Jude says in verse 10, and let me just get verse 10 up here. There we go. He continues to say, whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. This is just brutal words. You see, these false teachers would speak evil of things that they didn't know anything about because they are unable to discern spiritually. We just read it in 1 Corinthians 2. You see, they don't have the Holy Spirit to enable them to understand spiritual things. They just can't. But they corrupt themselves in the things that they know naturally. This is what Jude is saying. They corrupt themselves in the things that they know. So this basically means that false teachers, they blaspheme and they speak evil of and they slander things that they know nothing about. And because they do that, obviously they're going to come under God's judgment, no? Because of doing it. But the thing is, they also sink deeper and deeper into sin with regards to the things that they know naturally. Instead of looking at the things they know naturally and just kind of making sense of it and speaking sense of it, no, they take the things that are natural, and even those things that are natural, they actually use it and abuse it to the extent where they just, it becomes a means of them just sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. Take, for example, we call it the prosperity cult, no? Those name it, frame it, and claim it people that says everything must go well with you all the time. The people that are so into the prosperity. Now, there are numerous false teachers in the prosperity gospel circles, by the way. Numerous teachers. Now, when they speak about angelic beings, you will hear that they rebuke the devil. They command angels to do things for them. They don't say what the scripture says, that God will give his angels charge over us. No, they will say, I call upon the angels to protect us. We call upon the angels to do this and that and whatever. They are arrogant because they command things that they don't even know. All right, so they command the angels and they rebuke the devil and they cast the devil out and they chase him all over the place and all these kind of things. And I'm saying it with heart. with a broken heart, because these things are so bad to see. I mean, they chase demons out of homes. They anoint the places, put little crosses on the door frames, and then they chase demons out of the house. And the way they chase those demons out are so disrespectful, so arrogant, as if they are now God's gift to mankind kind of thing. And they have the authority, they have the power to do this. Obviously, they use the name of Jesus, because before Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. But that's what these people do. They speak about the devil and fallen angels in a way that is completely and totally unfitting. Right, so what we can say is that these false teachers in the prosperity cult, they blaspheme what they do not know. The way that they interact with the spiritual things and spiritual world, and the way they speak about these things, you can just listen to them. At first, it sounds as if they know what they're talking about, but they are so inconsistent in what they say, and it's so incoherent, and it is so not biblical. When you go and search these things in Scripture, it's not found in Scripture. All right, so they blaspheme the things that they do not know. They talk nonsense about spiritual things, but then they also corrupt themselves with what they do know. For example, by wanting more and more money and wealth and power and influence over people. I mean, I watched a video clip where one of these prosperity false teachers, and I call them false teachers, he ran up and down the stage, and on the stage, on the steps, there were money lying all over the place because the people brought the money, you know, their tithes and offerings, and they laid it out on the stage, on the steps. He came and he ran all over it, and he was shouting out, "Money, money, money." And you could see that this guy is in love with money. He doesn't love the Lord. He doesn't love Christ. He wants money. And he's running on it, and he is so excited about his money. Even though Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Eh? You cannot serve God and money. You can't serve both. But you see, false teachers corrupt themselves through their love of the things that they can see. What they see and their heart desires, that's what they want. It's interesting what Jude says. He says that they act like brute beasts. They act like animals without intelligence. Whatever they see and whatever they desire, they want. That's why you find in the prosperity cult so many broken up marriages and adulterous relationships and all these kind of things. Why? Because what people see, they want. You see, they indulge themselves in whatever they desire. And by so doing, what happens? They corrupt themselves. They corrupt themselves more and more and more as they fall deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. Now, Jude warns his readers about these false teachers. He says, it's these false teachers who creep into churches and then they draw people after themselves. They lead these people away from the truth and they lead them into error. They come and teach false doctrines, the doctrines of demons. They follow after deceiving spirits. Be aware of them, beloved. Be aware. They are there. There are many false teachers today. I mean, Peter, and I want to end off with this. Peter warns about these false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Let me go there and see if you can see it. Here we go. Peter warns very, very clearly. I just want to make this a little bit bigger. Okay, here we go. All right, there we go. This is what Peter says. He says, but there were also false prophets among the people. Speaking about the people of the Old Testament. Né? There were false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you. So we will have false teachers. The Old Testament people had prophets. Because these false teachers today, they teach falsely. And then he says, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So they are going to be judged. Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And by covetousness, they will exploit you because they desire what you have. But they also desire what they don't have. They want whatever they want. All right, so by covetousness, desiring what you have, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. God is going to judge these people. But what an explanation of these false teachers. So if we look at what Jude says about these false teachers, and then we also see what Peter says about these false teachers, I believe it is important for us to understand. We need to be aware of false teachers. They are there, and we need to be very, very aware of them. Right. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you that we can understand something about who false teachers are, what they look like, what their characteristics are, so that we can not only avoid them, but bring their works into the open so that people can be warned and these people can be brought into the open. That we can shout it from the housetops and tell people and warn them about these false teachers. Father, please help us to discern, help us to understand, and I pray, Father, as we go into this week, that we will be able to discern and see, and at the end of the day, warn one another, but also go back to the truth of your word and study your word, and at the end of the day, stick to the truth. Enable us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, with that being said, thank you very much for listening once again. What a blessing to study God's word. I hope it's insightful. I hope that you are learning something as we study the letter of Jude. Until next time, God willing, bye-bye.